Hey everyone, welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast mini-sode, an episode where instead of talking about something that aired on Toonami, we talk about something that was Toonami-adjacent, basically something that could have aired on Toonami if things were a little bit different. This week we're talking about SWAT Cats, The Radical Squadron.
Hell yeah.
I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this show is something that I remember very distinctly seeing as a kid about 1,000 times. It was kind of interesting to revisit it. Specifically, there is one episode that I remember, which is we may have talked about before, but it's an episode where vines crush a giant building.
Yeah. The I don't know, Dark Cat, one of those villains.
It's Dr. Viper. Who's like a half snake, half cat.
Makes all these super plants that take over the city and take over the skyscraper, and they've got to find their way out of the skyscraper. It's like Die Hard with plants and cats.
Yeah, you know what? Pretty much. I don't know why that one stuck in my memory so much.
Me too. Like that's the one where it's like, that's the only episode that, based on the two of us, anyone seems to remember offhand for Squat Cats.
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
It's not even that fantastic. It's just like, it's kind of cool.
I guess I really have no idea. I assume that they played it a lot for some reason, or I just happened to see it a lot. I don't know. I'm guessing that it's a like crossfire situation where it's just something I saw so many times that it's burned into my brain forever. But revisiting Squat Cats was an experience, but basically, it's a show that was made in 1993, created by Christian and Yvonne Tremblay, and was canceled after two seasons. There was a revival planned, and that got a ton of money on Kickstarter, I think $140,000, I want to say. But that seems to have gone nowhere. from a Google search, it seems that the last information about that was basically that they pitched it to Warner Animation, who liked it, but Warner Brothers, the parent company, were like, no thanks. And so it's kind of lost to history, I suppose. I don't know.
That sucks. Yeah. Because I enjoyed watching this show. Stupid. It's like, it's the same kind of era of really dumb, extreme 90s action shows like Street Sharks or Pirates of Dark Water, I guess.
I'm not sure. I'd say I personally
Captain
haven't
Planet,
seen that show. Captain Planet, so extreme 90s.
Yeah, Captain Planet is the wave that came after this when Ted Turner started crying about how this show's too cool, and so he canceled it, and then he made Captain Planet, and we all
the rumor that this show primarily was canceled just because Ted Turner was not fond of its violence, which apparently he wasn't. But what seems to be the case, at least, is that the toy sales were pretty poor, partly because the toys came out in like, I think, 94. So they didn't even come out to coincide with the release of the show. And just from Wikipedia, it seems that the toy line was pretty small, large cast of characters and like vehicles and shit.
Yeah. We should probably explain this show, huh? Because
is
not something that people just know.
Yeah, that's true.
Is a two season show from 1993.
Yeah, as I was saying, but yes. So basically, SWAT Cats is a show about two renegade fucking badass vigilantes who fly around in a jet. They are named T-Bone and Razor in their awesome alternate, you know, identities, but their civilian identities are Chance Furlong and Jake Clausen,
respectively.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And it's important to note these are all anthropomorphic cat people who live in Mega Cat City.
Yes.
We found one trend in this show is they say mega and then add something to it a lot.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Oh, it's a mega scorpion. Fire it with a mega missile.
Yeah, mega detonator.
That's one mega lightning bolt.
So essentially, they are Batman, but if Batman only flew around in a jet.
Yeah.
Although they do get out on fight on foot sometimes, but they are trying to save Mega Cat City from a variety of heinous villains, like Dark Cat, who's, I guess, a criminal mastermind, kind of looks like a sorcerer. The Past Master, who is a sorcerer.
Who actually is a sorcerer.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, sends him through time and shit.
Yeah, Dr. Viper, who is a half-cat. I almost said half-man. A half-cat, half-snake creature who, you know, does biological shit, I guess.
Yeah, he's their mad scientist.
Yeah, right. And then there's the Metallicats, or the other recurring villain, who are two robot cats who are like a married couple that, you know.
Yeah, they're like a pissed off married couple of Terminators.
Yeah, but also cats, again. So, yeah. Of course, the backstory of the SWAT cats is that they were formerly enforcers, which are basically Mega Cat City version of the SWAT, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But they also have jets for some reason. And they are led by Commander Feral, who is, you know, doesn't like the SWAT cats because, you know, they're vigilantes.
Yeah, right.
And eventually his niece, I believe, Felina Feral, is introduced in season two, who's kind of more of an ally to the SWAT cats.
That's more or less it. Yeah, she's a badass, and she doesn't take orders from anyone, as she constantly tells us.
Yes, as in her episode where she's hanging out with the SWAT cats for most of it, she is very insistent that she does what she wants. Of course, their other ally is Deputy Mayor Kelly Briggs, who is basically the, you know,
the real mayor.
Yeah, essentially the mayor is just kind of an oaf, and so
yeah,
she runs
he's just
city.
An oaf who's playing golf all the time and not doing his job, and she runs the city.
Yeah, and also, of course, calls the SWAT cats when danger strikes. So that's basically the show. We watched three episodes from each season for a total of six episodes, and they were fine, honestly. Like, I would personally say that I think this show was a little bit higher quality than something like Street Sharks. Although, you know, unfortunately it doesn't involve the use of the phrase Jossum, so yeah.
Well, there's plenty of cat puns though.
That's true. And you know, I would say the second season, just from what we saw, seemed to be a little more consistent.
Yeah.
I appreciated the second season more. What helps is not having to introduce villains, frankly. Like,
yeah, yeah. And just having them be a known constant.
Yeah, right. Like, there's an episode of the second season that we watched, A Bright and Shiny Future, which features both the Metallicats and Passmaster, like, teaming up, and then, you know, their team up breaks apart because they're villains.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
I found that the, like, different, like, weapons and stuff they used was pretty, were pretty unique. Like, Season one, I think it's mostly like the jet and a little bit of the motorcycle and stuff. Season two, they branch out a bit more. They've got like this dumb drill car,
which they use, I assume,
probably
one
only that
time,
yeah,
in order to get into a mine. Which, you know, it's a little sad that they're not trying to somehow fly a jet around inside this mine.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Battlefield 3.
Okay.
Some assholes trying to like take a helicopter into a mine shaft.
Yeah, right, into the tunnel on that one map. Yeah, so they instead have this drill vehicle.
Well, they've got like these arm cannon, like big gauntlets that have, like, shoot all sorts of different crap out of them. Mm-hmm. Like goo or, you know, bolas. They have a missile on their jet that fires bolas.
Yeah, it's a running like crazy gag kind of thing that they have a new missile basically for each situation. And they're always something kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for a show that was supposedly quite violent, the SWAT cats use a lot of non-violent takedown things, of course, because they're the heroes.
It wasn't that violent. It's just...
Although...
Yeah. Especially compared to DBZ.
Yeah, well, sure. But the very first episode that we watched, which is The Past Master Always Rings Twice, this is the first episode of the first season, there is a scene where the Past Master, like summons up two skeletons to do his bidding, and the enforcers show up, and after a brief like jokey like, should we read them their rights, one of them says, you have the right to remain buried, and then shoots them to pieces with a minigun.
They're skeletons.
I mean, yes.
It's violent, but it's fine. That's amazing.
I love such that. A crazy line. Also, again, the first episode. And then later, there are helicopters crashing into each other, which somehow don't have people like jumping out with parachutes, which later in the show they stick to that, but in the first episode they don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's like, nope, those people are probably dead.
Yeah, no parachutes for them. So I don't know, like, I guess they need TN around to lamely call out, yeah, they're fine, yeah, don't worry.
Oh no, they blew up the cargo robot. No, that was clearly a helicopter. Yeah,
all those robot helicopters. Well, yeah, I don't honestly have a lot to say about SWAT Cats. Like, I thought it was fine.
It was everything I wanted it to be, and actually a little more, personally. Okay. Like, I did not have high expectations. I'm sure I was like, okay, this is an old show from back in the day that I thought was pretty cool. It's probably going to kind of suck. And it was better than I thought. Like, it had a unique amount of lots of unique weaponry, and, you know, like you said, a new fucking missile every time. Right. As dumb as that is. And did some fun things with the plot. There's one where they get sent to the future, and, like, the bad guys have taken over and turned all the robots against everyone else.
Yeah, and also, and everything in this future is a robot. Like, there's one point where the fucking bridge in the middle of the city is just a giant robot
that it transforms into a gigantic transformer that hunts them down. It's like, well, this is pretty awesome. Like, this is, you know, they put some thought into this. The soundtrack is incredible, and
it's 90s
just guitar
as hell.
Shredding,
good
it's
lord,
it's just someone shredding a guitar for fucking 22 minutes.
Yeah, it's one of the many, like, fucking cartoon soundtracks that I'd really like to see somebody actually perform. Because I'm sure it would be crazy. There is actually one episode that I liked quite a bit, was season 2, episode 9, The Dark Side of the SWAT Cats, which is, as you may expect, an episode where they're sent to an alternate timeline where the SWAT Cats are villains instead of heroes, and they work for Dark Cat. And, you know, generally that's like a fun idea. Obviously it's fun to have them fighting themselves to an extent. But personally, one of the things I liked about this episode was that Callie Briggs is also evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't know why I like that so much, but I appreciate that, you know, actually in this world, there can be an evil character who has some kind of like cover and is not just openly bad.
Yeah, she's still the vice mayor, but evil.
Secretly in league with the SWAT Cats. Like, compared to everyone else, that's kind of, I don't know, nuanced, maybe.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know, to be fair, it's not like I expect the show to be particularly nuanced. It's about cats flying around in a jet blowing stuff up. Like, it's a kid's show from the 90s. I'm not expecting a lot of fucking moral relativism here.
Right.
But
yeah.
But it is kind of nice to see that little, like, touch of nuance.
It's from a golden era where no one gave a shit, like, about, like, teaching kids, really, which is just kind of fun. Like, I mean, I don't know, you know, there's a little moral message about not dumping radioactive waste because it might make radioactive giant scorpion monsters
this
underground.
This is true, yeah.
That's, like, kind of a moral message,
it is from that, like, golden window of time like 80s cartoons that existed purely to sell toys and had very little thought put into them beyond that, and then,
and
like, the
90s
point where,
cartoons that had to teach you something,
yeah, that had to
have
some kind of message. It's from that very, very brief window where we had shows that were just like, fuck it, just have cats flying around in a jet blowing stuff up, like,
and the animation's pretty good. They don't use a ton of repeat shit.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, the animation is quite good. You know, for a given value, like,
yeah, right.
It's quite cartoony looking, but it looks nice still. You know,
yeah,
yeah. I had maybe a little bit higher hopes for this show than I should have, just from discovering that
you
it
like
had
Street Sharks.
I liked Street Sharks at a certain point.
In college, drunk. Yes.
Well, well, more that, like, there's some seriously terrible episodes of that show, but then eventually they have, like, this mini revival where they have an expanded storyline that's, like, continuous, and the animation's actually quite good. After, you know, many episodes with just some egregious animation errors, like characters' mouths not being there. but we're not talking about Street Sharks. My point is that, yes, but I also didn't have any expectation for Street Sharks, whereas for this show, I found out that it had a cult following, which, you know, on reflection, so does everything, seemingly.
Yeah.
There's a Dino Saucers wiki, which we discovered earlier today. Like, you know.
If your show had any episodes, it has its own Wikipedia.
Yeah, probably. And a bunch of diehard fans who are willing to fund a revival that didn't happen. Although, that is kind of sad, because I would be interested to see what they do with this show in, like, a modern, you know, setting.
Yeah, they get, like, a Netflix SWAT Cats. Like, that would be incredible. Give it the She-Ra treatment or the
Voltron treatment.
Like, the Voltron treatment, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, She-Ra is also pretty good, having watched a few episodes now. But
I just haven't I'm not familiar because I haven't seen it. But
right. But, like, exactly. I mean, we are at a point where kids' cartoons are capable of having actually pretty, like, smart storytelling.
Yeah.
So it would be kind of interesting to see how a show so radical that radical is literally in the name, that would, like, fare in a modern setting.
They could give it the Castlevania treatment and make it super fucking gory.
Yeah, which would be awesome. I suppose they could do that too. Like, that would be fun.
In your face, Ted. Fucker.
Yeah, right. That's definitely what I want, is a weirdly dark, gory SWAT Cats.
Made as vengeance.
Yeah, because nothing makes something good except for making it really dark and gory, as we all know.
Of course, yeah.
That's the ultimate fucking zenith of quality in animation.
Yeah, I love DC films.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. SWAT Cats, actually not that, like, it holds up a bit. Surprisingly, more than you might expect, again, for something with radical in the name. I don't know. If you can find it, I would give it a chance, probably. Perhaps a chance for a long. Excuse me for making
Shut
that
up.
Non-joke.
So, I'm leaving.
So next week, we're going to be diving into Blue Submarine number 6. Man, I'm just knocking them out of the park here.
God.
Which is interesting, having watched the first 2 or 4 episodes of it.
Yeah.
It's got some CG animation mixed with traditional animation, which is sometimes effective.
One of the first to do it.
So we'll be getting back to that next week, but until then, I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
Be sure to revisit us for Blue Submarine number 6.